rest of the story. The American Civil War was more than a nation split down the middle. It was innumerable individual families torn asunder. And so it was for Ted and Martha. Their home at 28 East 20th Street in New York City was a house divided. His allegiance was to the North. Hers was to the South. Ted and Martha were the products of grand old families who fervently celebrated their grand old family names. Ted's ancestors were storied New York aristocracy, prosperous landowners and businessmen who came to this continent from Holland in 1644. Ted himself was a successful businessman and a much admired philanthropist. Martha's family was also recognized and respected, but hers in the South. In Georgia, her maiden name was Bullock, and that name in Georgia was magic. Great-granddaddy had even been the state's first governor after independence was declared, and when Ted and Martha were married, their respective regional prestige was hardly an issue. More significant was that two such fashionable young people had found happiness, and they received nothing but society's sincerest blessing until the war intruded. Now, suddenly, Ted, an enthusiastically anti-slavery dyed in the Lincoln Republican, found himself living under the same roof with three fiery-eyed arch Southern Democrat females, his mother-in-law, his sister-in-law, and, of course, his own wife. And worse, Ted, completely healthy and not yet 30, would be among the first called to serve in the Union Army, perhaps even among those sent to march on Georgia to fight Jim and Irv and Stuart. Wife Martha's own brothers. For months, Ted agonized over this dilemma. With all of his heart, he wanted to join the Union forces in battle, and yet how could he, knowing that it would break Martha's heart? So reluctantly, Ted compromised. He did what many wealthy men were doing in those days. He hired a man to fight for the North in his place. Nobody recalls the name of that substitute soldier, nor whether he distinguished himself in the war, but one thing he did. He doused the smoldering embers in the household of Ted and Martha. In fact, only one family member remained utterly unsatisfied. And the least likely one, Ted's three-year young son. Ken would later recall the boy's disappointment. Not that he ever called his father a coward, but even at three, he asked to be dressed up like a Union soldier. He even prayed aloud for the defeat of the South. And when he grew up, he could not wait to wage war. Self-consciously, he went to great lengths to prove his bravery. And it was his own sister who suggested that Ted Jr., ashamed that his father had backed away from combat, became combative himself, sometimes to an absurd extreme. His dad quietly regretted for the rest of his life having sent another man into battle. His mother remained an unreconstructed Southerner to her dying day. But now, when you envision their son, Ted, now when you envision Teddy Roosevelt charging with reckless abandon up San Juan Hill, you will remember the rest of the story.